Hi, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. Hope you are doing well. Tonight is going to be a real spectacular type of show because joining me will be none other than Destiny Rambo McGuire, hailing all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. You are going to be completely blessed, electrified, and jazzed about her talent. She's really a great, phenomenal talent. And I want to keep you abreast of what we have going on this coming week. Again, as you probably know, tomorrow joining us will be Hollywood star legend, animal advocate, Tippi Hedren. So she will be joining us tomorrow. And so you want to make sure that you stay tuned for that. And then we've got Lexio Divina next Friday evening, starting at 7 p.m. with Shaw from Southern California, Pastor Shaw, and then Pastor Phil from Salem, Massachusetts. So it will be really quite an enlightening, meditative type of evening, which we're looking forward to. So let me tell you about our invited guest tonight, Destiny Rambo McGuire. And again, she's hailing all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. She's a rare combination of a talent with a dash of unpredictable improvisational genius. So she often leaps from the boat of tradition and dances on the water. Destiny has an exceptionally rich heritage of music and ministry. Her grandparents, I'm sure you're aware of, Buck and Dottie Rambo, are pioneers in the Southern gospel world of music. And they were performers and writers. Her parents, Donnie and Reba Rambo McGuire, are certainly trendsetters in the contemporary Christian music market. Destiny has studied intensively music, piano, voice, art, and drama, along with years of private tutoring. She studied dance at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, went through extensive vocal and piano training by Jan Williams, Sandra Morton Chaffin, and Jamie Green at the Jan Williams School of Music, and has a bachelor's degree in counseling from none other than Destiny Christian College. That's great. I really like that. And she's already performed in The Child Godspell, David and Fear Not Tomorrow, based on the book of Ruth Graham. She has also worked with Disney on the re-release of Tarzan the Musical, as well as in the role of Chana in Sight and Sound Theater show, Jonah in 2012. And in 2012, Destiny, along with her family's group, Rambo McGuire, were privileged to win the Dove Award for Bluegrass Album of the Year. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't had a chance to hear that, you need to go on their website, RamboMaguire.com, and be sure to listen into that. Without further ado, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, will you help me welcome Destiny Rambo McGuire as she sings for you, At Last I Found Love.
Me and gave me your name. You made me
If you know, that is awesome. That was a fantastic song, again, from Destiny's new album and her CD, and we're going to give you a chance, folks, to get online and to get a copy of that. But that song, again, was called At Last I Found Love. So here is the songstress herself, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, Destiny Rambo McGuire. Destiny, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well.
Welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're
Thank
happy.
You.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So that was just a fan. Tell me about that song.
Oh, go ahead. No, sorry. I didn't mean
well,
to
you
up.
Know, for some reason, I think I remember that tune.
You know, you are remembering correctly. That was one of my mom's big hit songs from back in the day, and it's one of my favorites. I grew up loving that song, and I figured on my first project that I had to do that one.
Oh wow! What a great tribute to your mom and that song. I mean, you just do an excellent job, and it's so fitting for really what you're trying to present. So, anyway, we're going to get, you know what, let's just start this out here for those folks that have joined us. We're going to talk a little bit about your life and how it all started. Now, I understand, I know, although you live in Nashville now, you were born somewhere else, right?
I was born in Atlanta. We moved to Nashville a few months before I turned 5.
Wow. Do you have any recollection of Atlanta at all? Do you remember it at all?
I remember we had this big house that my grandparents, Buck and Dottie, lived with us in that house. I have memories of being in the kitchen with my grandmother cooking and my mom cooking, and then I have memories of they had this crazy banister that the staircase kind of followed up and on this curve. And I remember when I was a kid I used to have nightmares that I would fall off the banister.
But hopefully
yeah,
that
so
never
I don't,
happened,
I don't have
right?
a whole lot of vivid... No, that never happened, but
that's
I
great.
Remember the stairway, and I remember the kitchen, and just a few vague memories here and there of living there, but I don't have a ton of Atlanta memories.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, to be... You know, that I had the opportunity to be there, I don't know, about 12 years ago, and we stayed in downtown, and I was like, wow, this is such a great place. And then we went, since I'm a foodie, you know, we went to this restaurant called The Mansion, and it was so cool. You know, the 5 days I was there went so quick, and I thought, what a just a beautiful area and really wonderful people.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
city.
That,
yeah, and wonderful people that come from there. So anyway, and let's talk about your early life. Of course, your parents, Donnie and Reba, were traveling quite a bit. Tell us a little bit about your early life and traveling with your family on the road. I mean, although you made your home in Nashville since the age of 5, where your family settled, you weren't always in Nashville, right? I mean, you guys were moving.
No. Well, they
moving around
they
a lot,
were
right? Traveling.
Mm-hmm. They were on tour full-time until I was 15. And so
wow.
We moved to Nashville when I was 5. I went to private school until 2nd grade. And at that point, my parents just, they were traveling so much that they didn't want to miss out on raising us, me and my younger brother. And so we had a live-in nanny that homeschooled us. And so after 2nd grade, I was on the road full-time with them. And the first several years, I mean, we were in a different city every night. So I feel like I didn't really grow up in Atlanta. I didn't grow up in Nashville. I kind of grew up everywhere.
Right.
And so, yeah, we were in a different city every night until the mid-90s when they went into a season of doing revival services. And we would basically go to a church with a week booked, and it would be open-ended after that, that if after a week we felt like the services need to stay longer, we would. Sometimes it would last a couple weeks. The longest one, we were in Sierra Vista, Arizona, for months. I can't even remember how many weeks it was that we were there, but we were there for a long period of time. So we did that up until I was 15 when Mom and Dad started a church in Nashville. And we sold the tour bus and relocated back to Nashville, and started building a church.
Well, now going back to the times that they were traveling a lot and they did these revivals, I remember they were here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and
mm-hmm.
they were here for quite a long, extensive time at one point.
We were.
I remember.
We spent a lot of time in that area.
Yeah. And I remember going out to one of the services and was just really blessed by that. So, you know, and hopefully someday, you know, they'll come back out and you'll be able to join them as well. So, you know, you did travel a lot on the road. And that kind of, you know, I think that really helps establish you as a performer and the person
mm-hmm.
that you are today, because you had really a glimpse of what was to be ahead in your life. And also, you know, the homeschooling, especially in this day and age, I think is a really good fit for a lot of people. And it really protects a lot
mm-hmm.
of kids from what's going on, you know, in schools now across the nation. So, you know, you kind of were protected and blessed, you know, that's without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're gonna have you sing. We're gonna listen to another song here rather quickly. Let me share. This song is called "He Gave Me Music."
Mm-hmm.
I think did your mom and dad write this tune?
This is another one of mom's. It's kind of funny. Both of the songs that I did of hers are at the front of the show.
Yeah,
this is another one that was one of mom's big songs. That
mm-hmm.
I loved, and I felt like
right.
it applied so much to my life story and just how music was born in me.
Right, right. I think this song is a phenomenal song. In fact, let me tell you something. I've never shared this with you before, but this song actually, when I had a band back in the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
early 90s, we used to open up with this song.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we actually kind of did it in the vein of like U2, I think, if I recall correctly. It was really interesting. So I was really jazzed when I heard this, and I heard your rendition of it. I thought, this is phenomenal. So people, folks, without further ado, I want you to listen to from Destiny's album, from her CD, I want you to listen to this song. And again, this is just a great tune that, you know, can go through any test of time, you know, whether it's back in the 80s, 90s, now, 2014. And again, this is on her CD, Journal of a Songstress, and here's the song, "He Gave Me Music."
The day that God created man, He started passing out the gifts He thought that everyone should have. Some He gave the gift to teach, some the gift to prophesy.
while you were just listening to Destiny Rambo McGuire, he gave me music from her CD, Journal of a Songstress. Phenomenal, phenomenal song. And folks, let me give you her website, facebook.com, her Facebook page, Destiny Makes Music. Again, facebook.com, Destiny Makes Music. Her Twitter is at Destiny Rambo. But now, this is spelled a little bit differently, so it's R-A-M-B-E-A-U-X. So Destiny, R-A-M-B-E-A-U-X. In case you want to get a hold of her or, you know, add her to your Twitter and give her out a shout. Again, the family website is Rambo McGuire, where you'll be able to find out more about Destiny's project, her CD, and as well as the family CD. And that being said, Destiny, thanks again for that. Was just a great song. I really, really do love that song. And so
thank
thanks for sharing
much.
That. Yeah, thanks for
Absolutely.
Sharing that.
Absolutely. You can't go wrong with Reba stuff. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah. So, you know, we're just blessed tonight to have your dad with us because
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, this guy, not only is Donnie McGuire a great songwriter, a keyboard player, a singer. Let's see, did I leave anything else out? He's a good preacher. What
mm-hmm.
else did I'm sure he's a great dad.
Great
and he's
dad,
a great
he's
producer.
A great cook. He's a great producer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so without further ado, we're gonna pick his brain because he was very involved in this project. He helped produce it, right?
Yeah, he was the brains behind the whole operation.
Okay, so without further ado, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, we've got with us Donnie McGuire. Donnie, how are you?
I am doing great, Joy. I'm having a fun time listening to my baby girl.
Yeah,
and,
I bet.
I'm just one blessed dude.
Yeah.
You know, and working on this project with Des was, I mean, it just, there was something, you know, I think everybody, when they are involved in relationships where you have literally lived with someone all your life, it can be the greatest blessing or greatest curse to then
right.
find yourself working with them. And yet, I don't know of anything in Destiny's 25 years plus, really 27 plus years, I don't know of any moment in our life that has brought us closer together
that's
working
awesome.
On this project together. And, you know, I mean, you've been playing songs that Reba and I wrote back in the early 80s. I think the thing that is so gripping about this project, not only did she honor Reba by recording those songs, she recorded a couple songs that I had been involved in writing and performing. She did one of her grandmother's songs. So she, as great a writer as she is, she understands the principle that if you honor those who have paved the way for you to be able to do what you do, there will be another generation that will honor her in the same way because she's cutting through avenues and creating paths now that no one has dared to even cross. And
right.
So it's just a very exciting, this piece of product to me is one of the favorites. I mean, Destiny and I have talked about it. We started to work on this project a couple of years ago with a nickel and a dime. And just anytime we had a little bit extra money, we'd pull it together and we'd go to the studio and we'd cut tracks. And we sat with this thing and watched it grow and watched it develop. And at a point of a few months ago, we were involved in a concert and a man's heart was just really melted by what he felt and saw. And just fell in love with Destiny. He said, I don't care what we have to do. I don't care how much money it takes. I want to be a part of bringing this girl to the forefront. And,
awesome.
And gave us the ability to finish this project. And, I mean, from the time we started on the finishing project, we probably spent about the same amount of time as we'd have started from scratch, but we just were able to go in and really pull this thing together. So when I listen to it, because I certainly keep it in my car, and I'm one of her – I probably ought to be the president of her fan club, because
yeah.
Nobody believes in her more than I do. Her heart is more beautiful than her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a beautiful young lady.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because I keep a lot of guns around my house for young guys
mm-hmm.
that want to come over and check out her beauty. I let them know I'm still her daddy.
That's pretty funny.
And feel like I've got a really precious gift here I want to protect, and I don't want some young man coming in here spoiling all that. So
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But she is just a great chick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's real evident from the first time I heard her. I would say I was blown away by her voice. You know, I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful. And she has elements of Reba, but then she's in her own space. You know, it's her own sound. Some of the stuff that she does kind of reminds me, especially in one of these songs that we're going to be hearing. I hear a little bit of Norah Jones in her. she's got a great sound, but also what I was really impressed by was her heart. And that, when I heard her in a Christian setting leading people into worship, and I thought, you know, this is somebody that gets it, and I know where she's coming from. And you know, and I think that there's those of us that move in that realm, and some people get it and some people don't. And I think that she's got a powerful, anointed ministry, but it transcends that. And then it goes into the other music that she does, the other songs that she does. And there was this one song. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to interject. So many of us who were raised in religious atmospheres had a lot of people constantly hammering on us that you've got to keep it about Jesus, you've got to keep it about God, if you're writing a Christian song, you've got to put God in it, you've got to put Jesus in it. The truth of the matter is Jesus is in everything anyway. God is in all things anyway. And sometimes it's hard to go across the boundaries into parts of society where people may not recognize and or believe in Christ the way we do.
Right.
And he has no problem with us relating to them on the level of life. And the thing that this project does, and I've got to watch Destiny grow up writing this music. And it really is like a journal of her life. But she writes about life. She writes about things that broke her heart. She writes about moments in her life when the weight of just life itself had so pressed down on her that she was willing to be transparent and vulnerable enough to throw that on the table. And, you know, in some situations, people may say, that's too real, I don't want to hear that, it's too vulnerable, it's too transparent. But the thing I love about Destiny is she says, you know what, writing this music helped get me through that. And maybe
Absolutely.
It'll help somebody else if they can know somebody else was there too.
Right.
And they've come
Absolutely.
Out on the other side of it. You know,
Absolutely.
To me, that's the beauty of this piece of product.
Absolutely. Well, and that's another thing that I was most impressed with, and I talked to Des about this on the phone. We talked about this, but even like this show that I do, this is not a Christian show. We have a lot of people on that are not Christians. We have a lot of people on that are flat out entertainers from Hollywood, LA, from New York, from all over the world. And it's not about talking to them about Jesus as in a Christian setting, because that's not what it is. But if my life reflects that, you know what I'm saying? If what I believe
right.
and what I stand for reflects that, it is going to be made evident in what I say and do. And that's back
right.
to your point that God is in everything. If God is in us and in our life, whether we're singing a secular song that has wholesome lyrics, whether we're singing a song about grief and passion and this and that, whatever we've gone through in life, it is going to manifest itself out. And that's really what
right.
the world is looking for. They're looking for reality. They're looking for
right.
real things, real life. And this is what this song talks to me about. Now I want you to hang tight here with me. I'm gonna have you come back, but we have to do right now. We have to take a station break, a station identification break. So without further ado, I want you to stay with me. Hang on in there, folks. We're listening to and we're hearing from our artist of the evening, Destiny Rambo McGuire. Her new CD, Journal of a Songstress. We're talking with her father, who is also a producer and an artist and a songwriter and a pastor, Donnie McGuire from Nashville, Tennessee as well. But we're going to take a real quick station identification here. So thanks for joining me. Hang tight, and we're going to let the music play one more time here to introduce the show, and I'll be right back with you.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Stay tuned.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. We have a great evening. We're at the second part of our evening with our artist of the night, Destiny Rambo McGuire, singer, songwriter, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Her new album, CD, is Journal of a Songstress. Be sure we're going to get more information on how you can obtain a copy. Make sure you really pass that on to your friends and family. Just a wonderful wonderful CD that really talks about life, and really that's what it's really all about. And right now we have with us Destiny as well as her father, who has helped produce, record, and be a support for her there, which is also an artist, Donnie McGuire from Nashville. So we're back again, folks. Tell me what I'm kind of wondering here is, how was this project really born? How was it born? Well, who came up with the idea? What birthed this? I'm always interested in how a song is or a project is birthed, you know?
Well, I've been writing. I wrote my first serious song when I was probably 14. My grandmother used to Josephine and say that I was a late bloomer because she, by the time she was 11, was on the road full time with her own repertoire of songs already written. So it was kind of this inside joke that I started late.
Right.
But so many of these songs were written over the course of from the time I was probably 19 until
mm-hmm.
this past year. And like my dad said a little earlier, we started working on this project, the idea of me finally having a solo album. That idea was birthed about 2 years ago, and it's just,
mm-hmm.
I felt like this was the baby that was never going to get born.
Mm-hmm.
But when everything fell into place a few months ago to really be able to finish this, we sat down and talked about and said, do we want this to be a Christian album? Do we want it to be a mainstream album? What do we want this to be? And I told my dad, I said, I want this album to reflect life. I want I want this album to be like if I walked up to somebody, shook their hand, and said, I'm Destiny, this is what I believe, this is who I am, this is the path that I've walked, this is the great moments I've experienced, these are the moments that I'm ashamed of that I've walked through that were heartbreaking and hurtful, and to tell this story so someone could listen, whether they're a Christian or a religious believer, or whether they don't know where their beliefs stand.
Right.
I wanted it to be able to reach out to people because it talks about life, and that's where the whole idea of the title was birthed, was the idea of it's a journal, it's a diary, it's a story of my life up until now, the things that I've learned, the things that I've gotten past, and the hope in this being born was that it would be able to communicate to somebody who's maybe been there where I've been, and to know that if I can make it out alive, you can.
Well, that's awesome. That's a great, you know, it's kind of like a business card, you know, it's like, it's more than a business card, but it's kind of like you're walking up to somebody and just presenting your life. And what better way to, as a singer and a songwriter, than to be able to do that. You know, many times people are able to communicate as artists via the written word, right? And as far as authors, writers, and they're able to do the same type of thing. When you're a singer, maybe because I'm a musician and a singer, I understand this, and you're a songwriter, you're giving your very being almost to somebody. You're basically saying, listen, this is all of who I am, and I want to share this with you.
And that's an awesome thing. Yeah, and I am not a half-hearted person. I wear my heart on my sleeve. If you know me, you know all of me. And I didn't want to hold that back on the project. I didn't want it to be sugar-coated or the nice version, you know.
Right.
I wanted it to be as raw and honest as possible, because the things that we walk through in life are raw and honest, and sometimes they can be brutal and blunt. And I didn't want any of this to come off superficial or fake or like I was trying to stand on this pious platform preaching. I'm learning every day just as much as everybody who's listening to this is learning every day. If we can help each other out on that journey by sharing our experiences and sharing the truth of what we walk through, you know, that's what really makes it worth it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So now, you know, it I wanna know about this next song that we're gonna, and I'm gonna ask your dad to join in real quick here. I know that he needs to go too. I know, and I thank him for being, well, both of you. I mean, we're 3 hours behind you, you're on. So we're 2 hours, right? Is that right? 2 hours. Oh.
But Joy, I'm one of those guys that gets up like 5:30. So my bedtime was about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, I see. Well, I told her make sure he's supplied with caffeine. You know, that's how I stay up late at night.
I've got my cup in my hand as we speak.
There you go. So, okay, so the next song we're going to hear, you know, this is a song that kind of reminded me a little bit of Norah Jones. It was kind of, the song is, I Just Came to Talk with You, Lord. And now, is this a Dottie Rambo song?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so, you know, it's got a different feel. Tell me about how you guys came up with this type of sound. I mean, it's really kind of cool. I like it. I feel like it's jazzy. It's, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'll step in here and say this. I mean, Destiny really can do just about any kind of musical art form that people will throw at her. We got tickled because a few weeks ago, the SeaWorld people brought her in, and she had to have a Mandarin, someone who spoke Mandarin, to teach her all the language inflections, because she sang a SeaWorld commercial in Mandarin.
For SeaWorld Beijing.
That's being played in Beijing. So,
oh, how funny.
I mean, it's like you can't challenge her too big. I think the bigger the challenge, the more willing she is to step into it. But we were talking earlier today because we're working on a couple more projects right now, and we were talking. Destiny had come to me and said, "I want to do one of Granddot's songs, because that's what she called Dottie." And she mentioned a song to me, and I thought about it for a minute, and I said, "You know what, Des? I think it's great that you want to honor her, but if you do that song, no one's going to really, unless they just know all the backside of her catalog, then they're never going to understand that she wrote this." But she was talking about something.
Well, because the song was so obscure.
Yeah.
I see.
But she was talking about something stylistically in this kind of framework. And so in our conversation, the song "I Just Came to Talk with You, Lord," which has been a very big song for Dottie, came up in our conversation, and I said, I'll be at the house in a little bit. I've got an idea. Sat down at the piano. She started singing. It was just like this magical thing happened to create the framework that, you know, I mean, this is another one of those things. That is a very raw, emotional song. It's like you're coming to this God who is the creator of the universe, who's done all these great and wonderful things. He's done all this wonderful stuff in our life. But at some point, we have to understand that the relationship is not based on what he's done for us, nor is the ongoing growing of that relationship going to continue to increase unless we can just come to talking terms with him. And that's really the message of this song. It's like, you know, I'm not here to ask for this. I'm not here. I just want to talk. I just want to talk. And that's the way she delivered this message. I mean, the way she sang it, it's like this, I just want to talk with you. And
you know,
so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, what you're saying is so true. It just goes back to real life. You know, this whole thing is all about real life. And you know, when I hear this and I think, oh yeah, this would be cool. It kind of reminds me of like a nightclub scene or, you know, like in a jazz club or whatever. You know, you got to understand that there's a lot of people. I've been in scenes like that, man, where I've gone in and they're hurting people. There's so many hurting people, and they're reaching out in drugs and alcohol and this and that. And a lot of them are just looking to, some of them have even had heavy duty relationships with God in the past, and they just want a time to talk with God, you know? And so in whatever situation we're put in life, whether we're in a bar and we're alone with, there's so many times in our quiet time, we may be on a plane, we may be here or there, we just want to have that time to talk with God and, you know, wherever we're at. And so I thought this was so cool because I was like, you know, yay that we got it out of a church type scene and into reality, you know, thank God.
Well, again, and a lot of those, you know, Joy, I hate to interrupt you, but you said something very key. A lot of people who are filling nightclubs and bars and that kind of scene are people who at one time were so indoctrinated with the concepts of the God that was untouchable. All he's looking to do is just to beat you up, to put you down. And if you make it to heaven, it's going to be by the skin of your teeth. Nobody told us that God's love for us really is unconditioned.
Absolutely.
It means that when the scripture talks about his love and it says, love keeps no record of wrongs done. No one really got that through to us. The concept of grace was only good as long as we were good.
Right.
But the beauty of it is God's love is bigger than anything we could have ever done. And it's so big that he's more willing to talk with us at any time in our life than we are willing to talk to him. And
I think
this song, even being put in that setting, just opens up a whole new world and says, you know, you don't have to be so presumptuous that it's going to be your behavior that gets you an audience with him. He's already your audience. He's
Absolutely.
With you through the best and the worst times, and his love for you, his grace toward us, has never been about our behavior. It's about his love.
Right.
And so that, you know, when you understand that and you say, well, why would you use this kind of setting for this kind of song? Because I want people to know God's in the nightclubs tonight.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
He's in the bars tonight.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's just looking for an opportunity for one of those people to have a breakthrough in their heart to say, God, can I just talk to you?
Right.
I just need somebody to talk to. Can we just lay all this other stuff going on in my life aside? And can I just talk to you? And so to me, it just was a magical moment when Destiny started singing. I started playing the piano. And when the people hear this, they'll hear the final results of that moment.
Right, right. So I think what better way to just start this this song, folks, than what Donnie just shared with us. So without further ado, I want you to hear this song, I Just Came to Talk with You, Lord. Awesome song. I just came to talk with you, Lord. That was Destiny Rambo McGuire from her CD, Journal of a Songstress. Again, you can reach her, facebook.com/Destiny Makes Music. Her Twitter is at Destiny Rambo, RambeauX. I want to ask her about that. And I want to thank Donnie as well for taking time with us this evening. And I know that you need to go, and we're kind of running short on time, and we want to get everything in. So, again, I want to thank you for joining us tonight all the way from Nashville, for supporting your daughter, and for really helping produce just a wonderful representation of who she is. So thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, Joy. God bless you and all you do.
Blessings to you. So, Destiny, I want to know, my question to you is, on this Twitter, the way you spell Rambo, R-A-M-B-E-A-U, how did you come up with that, A-U-X?
Well, I was talking to my grandfather a few months ago about our family history and the Rambo family and them migrating to the U.S. from France, and that was actually the original spelling of our last name. And when they landed in Pennsylvania, they dropped the E-A-U-X and simplified it to just R-A-M-B-O to make it, I guess, easier to pronounce or read.
Right.
And so when
right.
I found that out, I just thought it was really cool. And so on my Twitter, I spelled it that way just to pay homage.
Oh, that's very cool.
How it was originally spelled.
That's good. So that's awesome. Now you have to. Now you're gonna have to start doing some songs in French. In French, right? To honor that.
You know, that is actually a dream of mine that we're talking about maybe for the next project we'll have something in French on there.
There you go. So I want to ask you what you know since you're a songer and. A singer and a songwriter. Boy, I'm having a problem with words tonight. Maybe it's because I'm bilingual, you know, speak two languages.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so tell me, what does it mean to you to be a storyteller? Because when we write songs, and a lot of these tunes, a few of them are your tunes, you're telling a story. So what does that mean to you? To be a storyteller?
Goodness. I mean, for me as a writer, you know, I've tried writing other mediums of writing with short stories or with poetry, but there's something to me about singing a story that, for me, it grips my heart when I hear a song that just moves me or touches me, and I wanted to be able to give that to people. I think, you know, the oldest form of keeping history was just people telling stories to each other and passing stories down. And my parents instilled that in me when I was a little kid. You know, when I was really small, my mom and my brother and I would have story time before bed, and instead of her reading a book to us, she would start off and say, you know, there once was a princess in a faraway land, and she was trapped in this tower because this evil monster was about to, and she would point to one of us, and then we would pick up on the story and keep it going and then point to the next person. And she taught me at a very young age how to use my imagination and to create stories. And so this project... The stories on there are all very literal. They're all very life-based, but I also love writing songs about random people's stories or making up people's stories. And I think it's a really special way to communicate with people.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for explaining that. You know, I want to play a song that, you know, at first when I heard the name of the song, I thought, oh, this is a real girly song, you know, Letters to Cinderella. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm, you know. But when upon hearing it, I was like, wow, what a phenomenal song. You know, I could see this
well
being part of a movie. Just a really great song. So if I may, without further ado, folks, I want you to hear this song by Destiny Rambo McGuire called Letters to Cinderella. It's her own work.
Maybe I should write a letter to Cinderella and ask her what she did to catch her partner's eye. Perhaps I could swim the high seas with Ariel and ponder what it's like to have the best of both worlds unite. But no one holds the ball anymore. And happy ever after isn't fashionable to wait for. What if we come to end the princess's quaint dreaming? The
wonderful song, Destiny. That was Letters to Cinderella, Destiny Rambo McGuire on her CD. Destiny, that CD, tell people how they can get a copy of that, please.
Absolutely. It's available. We're pretty pretty much wherever online download music is available, iTunes, Amazon. You can listen to it on Reverb Nation. I believe it's now on Spotify. You can get it through all of those places, but I highly recommend, you know, nowadays we live in such a digital music download, but this project, there was so much work put into the artwork of it, the amazing Matt Muller did, incredible photography. I mean, the booklet that comes with this, with the photos and the lyrics, it's worth getting online to RamboMaguire.com and ordering a hard copy of the CD, because it's just, I'm so proud of it. It turned out so beautifully. You can get it online if you want to download it that way, but if you have a few days to wait for it to be sent to you, it is worth it is worth it to order
the
CD.
All right, thank you. Now, the gentleman that was singing with you on Letters to Cinderella, who is that?
That is my friend. His name is Nick Britt. He has a band here in Nashville called Black Market Research that I've done some work with, and they are just great guys. Nick is an amazing singer-songwriter, and I had brought him in to do a demo with me on another song that I had written, and we were working on this song that same day, and I was like, Nick, why don't you just come in and sing some harmony parts? I just want to hear how it sounds with the guy's voice on it, and ended up absolutely loving it. So it was one of those beautiful mistakes or coincidences that happened.
Right,
that ended up
right.
working really well, and I was thrilled to have him on the project, as well as a few other different artists that joined me in singing on some of the songs. So
great job.
It was great having Nick part of that track.
Yeah. You know, I'm just wondering, but for sake of time, because we've got about a half an hour to work with here, but before we have to say goodbye. But who's really been influential on your music? If you had to pick, let's pick three artists, okay?
Okay.
Can I do that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pick three artists. So let's pick your brain.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we know your mom has already been. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Mom Reba is at the top. We know that already. But outside
Mom
of that.
Mom and grandmother are.
Okay.
And grandfather, like family doesn't count in this
okay.
list, because they're all already at the top of the list.
Right. So outside of those people, what other artists, outside of your folks and your grandparents, what other artists have been influential on your music?
You know, right off the top of my head, when I was growing up on the bus and on the road, I didn't listen to a whole lot of music. I was on this bus that slept 12. We usually had about 16 on there. And so playing music on the road didn't really happen. This was the age before iPods and me carrying the music. I don't even know how old I was before I had like a Walkman, you know, that had music.
Mm-hmm.
So I read a lot of books. So that was a lot of my inspiration came from books and then the music that I was doing with my parents. But I remember when I was 12 years old, we played a show in Shreveport, Louisiana. I will never forget it. We led worship, and an artist named Nicole Nordman was on the bill that night, and she changed my life as a singer, as a songwriter, as a role model. At 12 years old, I looked at her and I said, that's what I want to be when I grow up.
Oh.
And write songs like that, and she was a huge inspiration to me. The amazing thing about it is I got to meet her last spring. Long story short, she's singing with me on the project, which was a dream come true. 12-year-old Destiny was so excited being in the studio with her. Nicole absolutely was a huge influence. I'll never forget when I was 14, I heard Ben Folds play the piano for the first time. And Dad, you know, is an amazing keyboard pianist and wanted me to start playing when I was 5. I took piano lessons. He taught me. And it just never really clicked. I thought it was boring. I thought it was just so uptight and having to read the notes on the page. And I didn't hear it just felt too structured for it to be fun to me. And I was talking about that to one of the guys who was on the road with us at the time, and he said, "Have you ever heard Ben Folds?" I'm like, "I have no idea who that is." And he played me the Ben Folds song, Zach and Sarah, and I don't know if you've ever heard that song, but the piano on that song is outrageous. And my jaw dropped to the floor, and I said, "If I can play the piano like that, and if I could write songs that are so heavily leaning on a piano like that, that's what I want to do with the rest of my life." And so Ben Folds was my other one. And then honestly, I am such a huge theater geek. I love musicals. I love Broadway, anything Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I just, I eat that stuff up. I'll never forget when I first heard Jason Robert Brown's writing. He's a musical theater composer. He wrote the musical The Last 5 Years. He wrote Children of Eden. He's written several shows. He's actually working on a show based on Bridges of Madison County. He's in New York right now working on that. But his writing, the first time I heard Last 5 Years, the way that he storytells
mm-hmm.
with his writing was a huge inspiration to me in knowing that I didn't have to write 3-minute songs and say all that I had to say in a short amount of time. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was almost like he gave me permission to take a little bit longer to say it better, and yet if you're saying it well, you'll capture
mm-hmm.
the audience's attention, and they won't realize once you're 5 minutes into a song that
mm-hmm.
it was that long.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Three and
so
five.
There you go. So there you go. How about that? Okay, now here's something else I'm going to pick your brain. On
mm-hmm.
on your CD, Journal of a Songstress, you have a song, I believe, called Excuse Me, Sir.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
And you like that word, sir, a lot. Anyway, and Condemned, and that's a joke between you and I, Condemned Motel. So can you tell me about those two songs really quickly and their meaning?
Yeah, absolutely. Those two songs, I mean, when Dad was on and we were talking about the gut-wrenching, blunt,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're hugging your sleeve moments, those
mm-hmm.
two songs are those songs on the album. They are they're the lowest points. They're the darkest points. Excuse Me, Sir, is about heartache. I wrote it
mm-hmm.
after someone that I loved very deeply,
mm-hmm.
I found out had been untruthful, and broke my heart, and
mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to have a future with this person, and
mm-hmm.
you know, at 19 years old, when you really know what you want, right?
right.
I thought this was it, and
right.
I was head over heels in love, and everything fell apart. And I told myself that if I started writing about that moment, that I would never stop
mm-hmm.
writing about it, and I would get pigeonholed into
mm-hmm.
that subject, and I wasn't going to
mm-hmm.
do that. And so I told myself, I'm only going to allow myself to write one song about
mm-hmm.
this experience and say it all
mm-hmm.
in one song. And
mm-hmm.
the individual that I wrote it about had written me a song called Excuse
mm-hmm.
Me, Miss. And so
oh.
I thought, you know what, I'm going to write my response song and tell this
oh,
guy.
That's funny.
You know, how I really feel. And so it was kind of a sarcastic
yeah, exactly.
meaning behind the title, but
uh-huh.
For anybody that has been through betrayal or thought that you knew the person you were in love with and
mm-hmm.
watched it fall apart, this song
mm-hmm.
will speak to them.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Condemned Motel, you know, it was written a couple years after Excuse Me, Sir.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It was more recent, actually. And, you know, there are times in life that you're going down a great path, you're going through life as best as you can, and then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden it feels like you can almost watch yourself fading into something that you know that you're not, but you don't feel like you have the power to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you end up in a place where you're ashamed or you make decisions that are not your true authentic self. You surround yourself
mm-hmm.
by people you would never normally surround yourself by. And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it happens on purpose. Sometimes it happens on accident and you don't even realize it's happening. But I came to a point where I was looking at myself in the mirror going, you're this girl who's getting up and leading worship and trying to lead these people to the Lord and be this positive influence, and yet you're battling all this junk in yourself
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
mistakes that I had made just eating me alive and things that I had done and putting so much shame on myself and
right.
feeling like if people ever knew who I really was or what I really was dealing with, they would never be able to hear from me and
mm-hmm.
be able to receive from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, I was at a Paula White conference. I was there leading worship, and she talked about that, and she talked about being in a place where you can't even look at yourself in the mirror because you know who God's called you to be, but yet you're living in this mess, and you don't know how to get out of it. And she talked about going and looking at yourself in the mirror and talking to that part of yourself and acknowledging, I'm a mess, and acknowledging that I need God to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up going home and looking at myself in the mirror, and the analogy came to my head, like, I feel like this run-down, abandoned building that was built to be something great, and it's just in ruins right now, and, like, could God ever put that back together again? And, and I know that I'm young, but the way that society is nowadays, you see kids in their teens and early 20s that are going through stuff that's so heavy,
right,
so intense, and they beat themselves up with shame and condemnation over your own self,
right,
and that's where I was. And so this song, there's not a lot of hope in it. It's bleeding on the page, talking about, you know, I'm not afraid to say it, and that's the thing that I love about this project is, you know what, people are either going to love it or they're going to be really upset.
Well, you know what, I think
it's real.
Right, and that's what it's all about. You know, Justin, if I could say one thing, and you and I talked about this, reality is where people are at, you know? This is what people want. They're tired of phony baloney stuff. People want to know that you've gone through what you've gone through, because that's real, you know? Pain is real. Heartache is real. Letdowns are real. Dealing with sin, dealing with problems, dealing with habits, dealing with things that are probably not the best for us in our life or the best way. There are people that do things in the name of God now, and you're like, are you serious, really? You're talking about God? And then you turn around, and we don't want to name any names, but there's plenty of people out in the public eye now that are saying, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, blah, blah, blah. And then their life speaks otherwise, and it speaks darkness. And I think when you come to a place that you can say, you know what, I've been there. I've been in that darkness. I know that I'm messed up, but I know that there is something that is going to, you know, somebody, God himself, God Almighty, is going to redeem. You know, I'm redeemed. I'm going to make it,
absolutely,
and I know that you can too. And no matter how dirty you may think you are, God is in the business of making something sparkle as pure gold. And when you come to that place, that's the reality that people want. They want hope. They want to know. They don't want, you know, what's a big turnoff for people is when people hear a lot of mumbo-jumbo about God, God this and God that, and then they see somebody, you know, shaking their booty or smoking and drinking and carrying on or doing terrible things or worshiping the devil and all this kind of stuff. And then they're like, wait a minute, wait. This doesn't sound right. You know, this is kind of off the wall.
Yeah.
But when you can say, you know what, I've been in those dark places. I'm going to speak about those dark places. I'm going to tell my story and how I came out of it. I think that speaks of grace. And I think that's an awesome thing. You know, our time is just going so quickly. I feel like I'm not going to be able to get to everything this evening. And so we're going to have to have you come back, if that's okay with you.
I would love that.
Then we're going to have you come back, and we're going to have you finish some stuff, because there is probably another half hour at least of things that I want to capture and be able to relay to people, and I want to give them kind of a little bit of a tease so people can go out there and get your CD and you know, go and find out really truly all about you. And again, folks, facebook.com Destiny Makes Music, her Twitter at Destiny Rembu, RAMBEAUX. That's a French way of saying it. And again, make sure you go to Rambo McGuire as well. Check out, like she said, she's on, it is iTunes. Is it Amazon?
Amazon,
as well?
Google Play. You can get it anywhere online. Downloads are available.
Yeah. So you know what? I think there's a couple of tunes that I want you to come back and cover, and we're going to do more about you. But, you know, we're going to wrap this up in this tune, in this tune that when I first heard it, I was like, you know, I really like the piano work, and, you know, I really like what she's saying here. And it kind of reminded me of kind of an Elton John feel. I mean, this is just my feeling, you know. But then the words were so much about grace. And,
yes.
You know, what we talked about, what we just talked about, you know, it's really grace. And if you
is.
Can be that conduit for the Almighty, the Divine, to reach out to people in
absolutely.
What you're doing, Destiny, with your album, in your life, that's really what it's all about. And, you know, that's kind of like how I feel. You know, I want to let people know that I'm real and that I've done everything that they've done and probably more, but I've come out of that and still God is still working on me and refining me. But it's not for me to I'm not in the business of you know, bashing people over the head with the Bible or telling them this or that. That's not my business. My business is to reflect God in everything I do without being, you know, without going, oh, hi, I'm a Christian and all this kind of stuff. That's, you know, if my life doesn't speak of it, then I'm nothing. I mean, if I just go around and I'm chatter and my life doesn't speak of it and it doesn't speak of grace and love, then I'm nothing.
Yes.
And I think what you have absolutely said and clarified is here is who I am. This speaks of love. This speaks of truth. This speaks of being destitute, lonely, hurt, angry, all these things, and being and coming out of that and refined, and this speaks about grace. And
and Joey,
hopefully,
you know what? The whole heart of this, you know, we talked a lot about the down part and the rough stuff that we go through. But this album, the whole thing is a message of hope.
Absolutely.
You know, and Old Lady Grace comes in at the end of the project. I always joke when I talk about how the songs are laid out on this project and say grace comes in and saves the day. After this dark moment and dark kind of moment on the project, Old Lady Grace comes in. And I wrote this song. My mom and I were having a conversation about grace were a person, what would it look like? And my heart, and if I could say that I have one thing to say to people, it's that God loves you and there is grace to cover you no matter what, whatever you've walked through, if the church accepts you or does not, if the world accepts you or does not, God loves people because he created all of us. He created
absolutely.
Us all unique as individual, beautiful creatures that we all have our story. We all are defined by who he is in us. And there's grace and there's hope for each part of our journey. And God loves each individual equally. There's not anything I could do to make him love me any more than he loves you. There's not anything that I could do that would make him love me any less than he loves you. And that's the beauty of this project and of this song, and just the message that I want to deliver to people is that God loves you. You may think that you're a mess. You may think that you're untouchable. You may think that you've made so many mistakes he can't love you, or you may see yourself as an abomination or whatever it may be. I'm here to tell you that there is grace and there is love, and God's
absolutely.
Not mad at you. He's here to walk you through it because he loves you.
And, you know, I think that that's what speaks worlds to people. You know, that speaks worlds to people. You know, you can go into an area that you know, a lot of people go, oh, I'd never go there, or, ooh, yuck. Mm-hmm. Even as people that are not Christians, non-Christians that are going, oh, I would never do that, or I never can hang out with them. Well, you know what? God hangs out with them.
Well,
God
even,
is with them.
Look at Jesus.
And,
like, Jesus went all these places that the religious order of his day were going, why is he hanging out with these sinners and these wine bibbers and these women that were caught in adultery? Why is he hanging out with these people? It's because his father loved those people.
Right.
You know,
right.
I would rather my life err on the side of love and people say I'm hanging out with all the wrong people and then I'm
right.
reaching out to all the wrong people. Because that's who, mm-hmm. if Jesus were walking the earth today, he would
that's
be reaching out to everyone that society is casting out, everyone that society
Absolutely.
Is saying, these people are blacklisted. Jesus would be standing there with open arms going, let me love you. Let
right.
me show you who you really are. Let me show you
right.
a life that's worth living. And that's who I am, you
yeah.
know,
and
that's what my heart and my message is.
Yeah, and that's awesome, and that is very reflective. So what we're going to do is I want you to stay on here with me, but we're going to play
mm-hmm.
Old Lady Grace, and then we're going to come back, and then we'll wrap it up, and we'll have you come back again and do another little portion of the show, areas that we weren't able to cover that I think are really important, but because of time constraints, we'll have you come back, okay?
Sounds
so,
great.
Here we go, folks. We're going to be listening to Destiny Rambo McGuire, and this is a great song, Oh Lady Grace. Listen up.
Mercy with a white picket fence and a garden of love. Her closets are full of quilts of forgiveness to thaw out even the coldest of hearts. Her kitchen is always smelling of cookies as seawater boils just in case. Cause everyone's welcome at Grayson's for dinner, even though with her snow curly hair and scarlet apron, her dimples are always framing a smile to comfort even the damaged of soul. Her pockets are brimming with fruit barrel candy, the sweet and the most bitter.
Wonderful was that, Destiny. Thank you so much. What a great song.
Towards
the end, I felt like I was in Ireland or something. It was it was absolutely, it was just awesome. And I want to thank you again for joining us. I feel bad that we weren't able to get to everything that we wanted to this evening, but it gives us more of a chance to come back and do a second part.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of this.
We'll
so,
get that going.
Yeah, so I definitely want to encourage people, again, to reach you. And her Facebook is, so it's facebook.com/DestinyMakesMusic. And then her Twitter is at DestinyRambaux. We got about 2 minutes here. Any closing remarks you may want to make? Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh no, Joey, thank you so much. This is my first interview about the album, and it has just been such a pleasure getting to talk to you and
equally. Ditto.
Yeah, and just be here and be able to talk about, you know, this album's my baby, and to finally be able to get it out to the world has been a really nerve-wracking and terrifying thing, but, you know, so far it has been so well received, and I'm just so grateful that God is using music in a sneaky, sneaky way to touch people's lives. And,
absolutely.
Touch one person through all this, it is more than enough, and I'm just grateful.
We just thank you that you were able to do your first interview with us, and the reviews that I have read are just phenomenal. So, you know, it speaks to who you are, not just as a person and as a believer and as a singer and songwriter, but really it speaks to the core of who you are, and that's really what this is about. It's a song, you know, the whole project is really of hope and of grace, and it's just of really, truly who you really are in a nutshell, all wrapped up. So Destiny Rambaux McGuire, all the way from Nashville, I want to thank you very much for joining us, and
thank you, we look forward
to the next time when you're able to be with us. And I just want to, folks, I think we just need to really give Destiny a round of applause for joining us. Thank her so much. And again, stay tuned this week. Stay tuned tomorrow night as we have a well-known actress and animal activist, Tippi Hedren, with us. And next Friday for Lexio Divina, which will be very interesting as well. So again, on behalf of us here, Live from the Bay with Joey, we want to thank once again, all the way from Nashville, Destiny Rambaux McGuire, for sharing her heart, sharing her new album, her CD, which I'm sure you're going to go out and get. And we want to thank her once again for joining us. Until the next time, this is Joey saying take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.